It's not an easy subject we're looking at this afternoon, of heaven and hell. I think when we look at a subject like that, we must be extremely sensitive about the subject. My first reading is actually from the prophecy of Job, of Jonah rather. Oh, I've written Job, it's Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 7. Just to give you the outline of the story, Jonah ran away from God, went into a sea went into a boat to go across the sea, a Mediterranean cruise. But sadly, a huge storm came and Jonah was down in the ship, and when the sailors who were trying to clear the storm clouds, etc., they suddenly found Jonah telling them about his circumstances. And they said to him, "What's your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? And of what people are you?" You know, we love to tell people where we came from. I come from Glasgow, or as they say in Scotland, Glesky. I was born in the tenements in Glasgow. And although it's 60 years since I was in Glasgow, I still call myself a Glaswegian. And we love to think about where we've come from. That is so important. We moved very, very quickly to Hillington, just south of Glasgow. And that was a very happy time that we spent in Hillington. I always remember going to school, because in the school, just in the middle of the main building, there was a huge siren. And every time the Germans came across, because they were trying to bomb the Rolls-Royce factory, which was just about a mile from where we lived, every time they were coming across, the siren would go, and immediately we would rush into one of these Anderson shelters, and my mum would gather us round and keep us from getting afraid. It was usually at night time, and sometimes she would read from the Bible, sometimes she would read from Hans Andersen fairy tales. But as we grew up, we realised that they all were fiction, simply because in the stories, the people all lived happily ever after. We sometimes loved her to read Aesop's Fables. That was a marvellous story that she used to tell us about. I remember vividly thinking about the servant who ran away from home, and then he took the thorn out of the paw of the lion, and how he was preserved at the end. They had very, very good morals in them. When we think about heaven and hell, what an important subject it is. I meet many, many people who will tell me they believe in heaven, but they do not believe in hell. The Bible, of course, is my only guide as to whether there is a heaven and there is a hell. And the very first verse in the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." But the same book says, in hell, speaking of a man who was rich but didn't trust in God while he was living, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I'm sure we all remember the coming in of the millennium. And perhaps one of the first countries to celebrate it was Australia. And over the Sydney Bridge, there was one word emblazoned on the bridge: eternity. I'm sure there were many people who thought, why in the world has the Australian government chosen this word, eternity? The reason was that there was a man in Australia who had been living there for years, who became known as Mr. Eternity. He was saved late on in life, having had a very, very sad and checkered career before he was converted at the age of 40. And this man called Mr. Stacey, he couldn't do much, but he had a beautiful handwritten copper plate. And he would rise early in the morning and with some chalk, and he would just go from town to town and write on the ground the word, eternity. And he became known as Mr. Eternity because he was concerned about one thing, and it was not so much where do we come from, but where are we going to? That is so important for us to realize. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, said to those who were trusting in him, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He also said to another group of people who didn't believe in him, who didn't trust him, you shall seek me and you shall not find me. Why? Where I am, thither you cannot come. Does death end all? We've been in many cemeteries, been many, many grave sites, and we ask the question, as we look down into that empty grave, is this the end? Is this the end? Is there anything beyond death? Well, there was a man in the Old Testament, his name was Job. And he said, man dies, and man wastes away. He gives up the ghost. Where is he? Where is he? He also asked another question. And of course, he had the reason to ask the question, because in one day he lost 7 sons and 3 daughters. He asked, if a man die, shall he live again? Job was asking the question as he looked down into the grave and saw these 10 children being buried. Is this the end? Well, he didn't just ask questions. He gave answers. He said one day, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand in the latter day on the earth. And after my skin worms destroy the body, in my flesh I shall see God. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, gave a wonderful statement to people who were listening to his messages. Enter in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. He said there are 2 ways. There's a narrow way, and there are plenty of narrow ways in this part of the world. There's also Broadway. The M4 is a narrow way, the B4447. On which road am I? The Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear that in life there are 2 roads. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. He spoke of his entrance. The broad way is wide, welcoming. No difficulty about getting into it. Join us on the broad way, he's saying. The narrow way? Oh, it's very restrictive. It puts maybe a lot of pressure on people to make their decision. The dimension of the Broadway, very, very broad. It's like the big motorway, the M4, the M5. The other one, just like a B road, so narrow. The numbers on these two roads, if you want to be in the majority, you join the broad road. I would judge that in Maidenhead, the majority of the people are on the broad road. On the other hand, if you get onto the narrow way, you'll find that there's only a few who are on this road. Ah, but the destiny, where do these two roads lead? The broad road leads to destruction. The narrow road leads to life. The writer of the Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Heaven. How many heavens are there? If you were to go to Ethiopia today and speak to 40% of the people who are Muslims and ask them how many heavens are there, they would tell you 7. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible tells us actually there are 3 heavens. Oh, you see, I only thought there was 1 heaven. No, no, 3 heavens. There's the heavens that we can see where the sparrows are, the aerial heavens. Secondly, there is the heaven above that. And these are the 2 created heavens, and it's the starry heavens. You think of all the things that they're just now discovering. They've been here for 6,000 years, but they're just discovering them recently, the starry heavens. Ah, but beyond that is the heaven of heavens. And that's where God dwells. Is there a heaven? Just supposing you go into Heathrow. You won't do it now, but a few months before, you suddenly met Jennifer all dressed up in her uniform, and you said to her, "Hey, where are you off to today?" And she looks at you and she says, "Well, I'm not sure." You would certainly not go on her aeroplane. No way. You're not sure? You're the pilot of this aeroplane, and you say you're not sure? Go up to the huge bus station in London and say to the driver, "Excuse me, sir, where's this bus travelling to?" And he says, "We'll just wait and see." You would just jump off the bus again. Certainly would not go with him. If you went down to the railway station, which I'll be going to tomorrow, and you can see there's Noel up there at the back, and he's just waiting for the train, and you say to the man who's just at the platform, "Tell me, where is this train going?" And he says, "Nobody knows." Now, these kind of answers, we would be totally unsatisfied. But when you speak to people about heaven, they'll say, "Well, not sure. We'll wait and see. Nobody knows." Who will be in heaven? My Bible tells me clearly, those who have confessed their sin to God. Those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And those who have been born again. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples one day, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Now tell me, your name may be in a number of registries or whatever. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? My name's there. As a boy of 8, I confessed my sin to God and received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. tell me, is your name in that book? I am living with a couple, and the gentleman tells me he has celebrated 90 birthdays. Well, he hasn't. Oh, he's looking now in surprise. He's only had one birthday. The rest are all celebrations of that initial birthday. All of us have only one birthday. Every time that we add another milestone, we're celebrating that we were born on such and such a date. I've got two birthdays. I've got two birthdays. Oh, you say, come on, you're just telling me we've only one birthday. I've got two. Well, the day I was born into the Reeve family, that was my first birthday. The second birthday was the day when I was born into the family of God. That was my second birthday. The Bible says, as many as received Jesus Christ, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. Where is heaven? Heaven is at the end of a believer's life. Did you know that today 83 people die in the world every minute? And during this hour that we've been together, around 5,000 have moved from time into eternity. When we used to go on holiday when I was a child, we didn't go to exotic places like Tenerife or the Canary Islands or some of these beautiful places that people go to today. We actually went to Fife in Scotland. And we used to go on the train. It was just some journey. We were going to Glasgow. We would stand in a big long queue waiting to go onto this train. And the train journey seemed endless. And my mother would try and keep us amused. And then she'd say, now when we get to the fourth railway bridge, we're almost getting near to Fife. And we actually, soon afterwards, we arrived in this place called Thornton. And there was a man on the platform, and he would shout out, change here for Fife. And of course, we all tripped out, because the train that we were on was actually bound for Aberdeen. We weren't going to Aberdeen, we were going to Fife. And we discovered that Thornton was not a junction. It was a junction, not a destination. And today, during this hour, God is saying, change here for eternity. Change here for eternity. Well, how do we get to heaven? Possibly that's one of the most vital questions that anybody will ever answer. There are many people who have got all sorts of ideas how to get to heaven. Some will say, if I try and keep the Ten Commandments, then there's a possibility I'll get to heaven. Some will say, I do my best to try and get to heaven. Someone will say, well, if you're kindly to your neighbour, surely at the end of the day, you'll get into heaven. Someone even might say, if you believe in God, then you'll get to heaven. Well, of course, they all may seem right. But sadly, they're all wrong. Bible tells me clearly, God says there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To get to heaven, you must get right with God by beginning a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It means confessing our sin to God. I don't know whether you've ever knelt before God and confessed your sin to God and received God's Son as your Saviour. And you looked up to the cross and you realized the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. I can honestly say, All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, I am free. And when I look up to the cross, I say, it was my sins that he bore on Calvary's cross. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. I am the only way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. What will heaven be like? Should we really want to get there? Well, the Bible tells us there'll be no more sea. When we went to Ethiopia, the people in this country said we were going across the sea. That means we were separated from them for a time. But thank God, in heaven, there'll be no more sea. There are many older people living today, and they don't pass a day without feeling pain. Imagine not having to take paracetamol or even something stronger. Imagine being in a condition where you have no more pain. Imagine not needing any doctors or surgeons or nurses. No more sickness. You don't have to face the dentist or the doctor or the nurse. No more sickness. Every picture has a sad note in it. Every person has the sad experience of shedding tears. Imagine being in a place where there'll be no more tears. If you're a keen gardener, my father-in-law was a very keen gardener, and his lawn was just like a bowling green, beautiful. But he did have one or two weeds in that bowling green, because you see, weeds are just a part of the garden. There's no more curse. Imagine being in a place where there's no more death. Just think of it. You get a telephone call and suddenly you hear someone, they've just been taken away, they've just died. No more death. Many folks who get older, they're always afraid of the night, especially in the winter time. Well, this is a place where there's no more night. Ah, but perhaps best of all, heaven is a place where there's no more sin. No more sin. We all think of the experiences that have taken place recently in this world. Stalin, Hitler, 9/11, Auschwitz, Rwanda. That unsavory, wicked man. Imagine it. No more sin. Why? What a place to go to in heaven. Why? The former things are passed away. Let me ask you the question again. Is your name written in the book of life? When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he unfolded for us not only what heaven was like, but what hell was like. Is there a hell? People will say to us, you know this, there's nothing beyond the grave. That's not true. That's the lie of the devil. He's trying to make people think, when you die, that's it, finished. There's nothing beyond the grave. Secondly, they'll say to you, God is a God of love. And at the end of the day, he'll open the pearly gates and he'll welcome everybody in. But he's not only a God of love, but he's also a God of holiness and a God of judgment. And he's got to deal with the question of sin. Some will tell you, well, this is your hell. I know people, and for them, life has been very difficult. The north wind has almost blown in their face all the time. And they think, this is my hell. Well, of course, when we look at the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, this cannot be your hell, because there's no drink in hell. I'm not talking about alcohol, I'm talking about water. There's no drink in hell. There's no preaching in hell. Well, this can't be hell. What is hell like? Place of memory. And people will be constantly thinking, I remember being in Maidenhead Gospel Hall. I remember being in Maidenhead Christian Fellowship. I remember being this place or that place. And I remember people talking about these things. And I never believed. What a memory that will be. I might have been saved, but I never trusted in Christ. Place of torment. If in heaven there's no more pain, there's such anguish and pain and suffering in hell. Place of blackness. I remember being in Malaga, well, near Malaga in Spain. We went into Malaga for the service on a Sunday morning, and we were into this very long tunnel. And when we were in this tunnel, the train stopped, and the driver came onto the intercom and said, I'm terribly sorry, this is a single line track, but in the tunnel there are two lines, and we've got to wait for an oncoming train to pass us. And just to preserve the batteries, I'm sorry, we'll have to put off the lights. Now, there were six of us in the carriage. And he put off the lights. And I must confess, I was completely disorientated. I hadn't a clue where I was. I just felt I was actually on my own. Now, it only lasted maybe for 50, 60 seconds, and then the lights came on again. And I thought, what must it be like for the blackness of darkness forever, forever, forever? It's a place where prayers will be unanswered. The man in hell cried, just send somebody to warn my brothers. I don't want a family reunion in hell. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't answer your prayers. There's absolutely no possibility of change. You can't have second thoughts. You can't make up your mind where you want to go after death. For the Bible says in Luke 16, between God and ungodly people, there's a great gulf fixed. Two ways. A narrow way. A way on which few people are traveling, but leads to heaven. And a place of joy. And a broad way. And I want you to think carefully and to ask the question as you think of these two destinies, heaven and hell. On which road am I? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee this afternoon that the Bible is absolutely clear